Well, hello everyone. My name's Vince Wall. You may have joined us from outside our church, but this is our first broadcast since our church has been locked down. We've been going through the book of Philippians, and we're up to chapter 1, and I want to read to you just the first couple of verses to begin with in Philippians chapter 1. When Paul writes this letter, he's writing to the Philippian Christians about 10 years after he started the church there. And he's writing to encourage them. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In the book of Acts, chapter 28, we get a few more details about Paul's imprisonment. In Acts 28 verse 16, the Bible says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him." So he's in Rome, he's guarded by a soldier, he's been able to stay in a rented house, but he has these continual guards with him. Acts 28:30 says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So he's able to receive people into his house. He was able to witness. In another prison epistle, the book of Ephesians, Paul writes this. In Ephesians 6 verse 20, he says, "I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, Paul knew that he was an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. He was a representative of the Lord Jesus wherever he was, whether he was free or whether he was confined in prison, whether he had a guard beside him. The Apostle Paul, wherever he was, knew that he represented the Lord Jesus. Now, as you read the book of Philippians, Paul didn't want the Philippian Christians to be surprised by the suffering that he was going through and also the suffering that they were going through. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. John 16:33, Jesus speaking, said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We all live in a fallen world. All of us suffer. But Christians have a different suffering. We suffer because we have faith in the Lord Jesus, and when we stand for him, the Bible indicates that we will suffer persecution. The godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul suffered, as I mentioned, and so the Philippian Christians were also suffering. If you read Philippians 1 verse 29, the Bible says, "For to you," this is Paul writing to them, "for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." When you read about Paul, he had a great attitude in his suffering. Further on in the letter, in chapter 4, the letter to the Philippians, in verse 11, he says, "In whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, Paul had a great attitude in his suffering because he knew it was Christ that could give him strength. Now, as I mentioned before, Paul is writing to the Philippians. He's a prisoner in Rome. And some Christians may have heard of Paul's imprisonment, and they might have thought that his ministry was finished now. Here he is. He's kept as a prisoner. He's got the guards beside him. His ministry is over. Perhaps some Christians felt that way. But that was not true. Paul had a great ministry in his confinement. God took the bad things and turned them out to be good for the Apostle Paul. He took the bad things and was able to use Paul to bring the good news to others. In Paul's imprisonments, he was able to witness to people they would never have had the chance to do so before. In Philippians 1 verse 12, he says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." So his imprisonment didn't stop him from being a witness. You know, there are many countries around the world that are locked down now because of the coronavirus. Not only countries have been affected, but churches around the world now are locked down. People are locked out of their churches. Something certainly that hasn't happened worldwide, I believe, ever in history, where there's been a worldwide lockout of Christians across the nations of the earth. And I think that could be discouraging for numbers of Christians. The fact that they're locked out of their church, they're locked out of their fellowship, that they can't come to Bible study, that they can't come and hear the preaching of the word, that they can't come and praise. It's very discouraging for numbers and numbers of believers. And if you think of the Apostle Paul, he was in confinement, and we're sort of in confinement now in Australia, and quite possibly it's going to get worse if we have a major lockdown, if the government announces that. Not only are Christians confined somewhat in Australia now, but missionaries around the world are confined. Their ministry is reduced in many places. Outreach has been reduced, and the ability to witness to others in many situations. And there's a temptation for all of us to be discouraged with the present situation. We don't know how long we're going to be confined for. We might be confined in our own homes. It could be just a couple of weeks. It could be a couple of months. The government doesn't really know. No one has a clue how long we might be confined. But with that in mind, we need to take some lessons from the Apostle Paul in his confinement. I think Paul had a great attitude in his confinement because, first of all, he knew that God was sovereign over everything that happened. Think about what Paul said in Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if something difficult comes into your life, this coronavirus is bringing many difficulties. It's bringing unemployment, uncertainty. You go to the shops and the shops don't have what they normally used to have. It is concerning a lot of people. But we can be encouraged, as Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. So even in this situation we find ourselves in, a very uncertain situation, we can know that God can actually work this out for our good. There's a couple of reasons I want to go through. Now, the coronavirus has not taken God by surprise, because nothing takes God by surprise. Our God is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. He is all-powerful. He sees the future before it comes to pass. And the world knew that this virus was, the Lord knew that this virus was going to hit the world. And I believe that God will ultimately use this virus for his glory. The Bible shows us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, that our God in heaven works all things after the counsel of his own will. Could the Lord stop the virus tomorrow? Absolutely. When Jesus walked on this earth, he could heal disease. He could still the waters. He was God in the flesh. Could he stop it? Yes, he could. But God is in charge. God is allowing this in our nation and the nations of the world for his purposes. Paul was comfortable, or I should say Paul was calm in his confinement. And I think we need to have the same mindset as the Apostle Paul. Philippians 1 verse 12 there, Paul says, "The things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." There's three things that I'm sure that Paul would have done as a prisoner. I think Paul would have used his confinement for prayer. That's number one. Secondly, I believe that he would have used his confinement, if it was possible, for study. And thirdly, for witnessing. We know Paul took the opportunity to pray. He's there in Rome. He's got the guard beside him. And when he writes to the Philippians, in Philippians 1 verse 3, he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." He's praying for the Philippian Christians. And remember, it's 10 years since he's founded the church there with the other missionaries. He's in confinement, and yet he states that he's praying. So that's what he's doing. He takes the opportunity to pray. Secondly, I believe if Paul had the opportunity, he would take the opportunity to study. Now, I'm not sure whether he had scriptures there or not, but I know that he knew the Word of God, and perhaps he took the time to memorize the Word of God. But we know near the end of the Apostle Paul's life, when he was again confined, we find in the scriptures that he had a desire to study. You might remember that near the end of his life he wrote a letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." So near the end of his life, not knowing whether he's going to live or die, here is the Apostle Paul requesting the fact that he could get the books and also the parchments. I believe that the Apostle Paul invested his Christian life in prayer, but he also invested his Christian life in study. And perhaps if we're confined in our homes, we need to think about what Paul would have done. Paul would have prayed. He prayed for other believers. He would have prayed for the concerns of them. He would have prayed for his own situation. But not only is he a man of prayer, he's also, I believe, he would have been a man of study, as he was at the end of his life, requesting the books and requesting the parchments. Well, Paul prayed, Paul studied, and thirdly, Paul witnessed. And God can use this world situation to help us to be prayerful, to help us grow in our faith. We can take time to study the scriptures. There are many Christians now that are not going to be in work for maybe the next week, the next couple of weeks or couple of months, might even go on to next year. And numbers of Christians are going to have a lot of time in their hands, on their hands, where they can pray, where they can study. But Paul also took the opportunity to witness. Now that's interesting. How are we going to witness in our confinement? Well, I'm going to come to that in a little while. This world situation that we're in, God can use for the furtherance of the gospel. You think about Australia and many other parts of the world. Sports have closed down. Clubs have closed down. Hotels have closed down. Theatres have closed down. Casinos have closed down. All types of entertainment has closed down. Not only entertainment, but there are businesses that have closed down. Schools have closed down and universities have closed down. And I believe in this period of time in our history, there are going to be numbers of people that are really disillusioned because their life has been completely turned upside down. They can't turn on the telly and watch the latest game because there's no latest game. If they're an AFL fan, they can't switch on their favourite team and see the latest game of AFL because there's no game. Those that are gamblers in society, they can't go down to their club or their casino because they're closed. You know, we need to do what the Apostle Paul did. Perhaps we're going to be put into confinement in our own homes. And we need to be thinking about how am I going to reach others for the Lord Jesus. We need to be thinking about new opportunities that the Lord might bring us at this time. I had a call from a pastor the other day, and the pastor wanted between 2,000 and 3,000 tracts so that his church could put them out in the neighbourhood. Well, I told him about a printer that could do that, and he sent me an email. And the email was a follow-up email, and he wanted 5,000 tracts. And so this pastor, I believe, is looking at the times that we're living in and thinking, we've got to get tracts into letterboxes. We've got to get tracts into hands because time might be short. Do you know if we're in total lockdown, you can become a missionary in your lounge room. You can become a mobile missionary. You can use your mobile phone to reach people for the gospel. If we're locked up, we've got to look out for those that need the gospel. Today you can get training to become an online missionary. There's an organisation and it's called Global Media Outreach, and they do a course for people for a couple of weeks in full training how you might be a mobile missionary, how you might use your mobile, your iPad, your computer to reach people on the other side of the world with the good news of the gospel. You can share the gospel. You can take prayer points. You can help in discipleship. You can be a missionary, whatever age you are. If you've got a mobile phone or a computer, in this time of lockdown, you can use those to reach other people over in Africa, Egypt, places in the Middle East for the gospel. Do you know today there are more people in the world who own mobile phones than who own toothbrushes? The mobile phone has gone out to the islands. The mobile phone has gone out to the Middle East and China. And so many people around the world are mobile savvy. You go to the Pacific Islands. I was at the Pacific Islands last year. And you'll see amongst the islanders on some of these little islands, they've got mobile phones. There are more people that own mobile phones than there are that own toothbrushes. I think that's amazing. Millions of people can be reached today with the gospel just using the technology of the phone, the iPad, or the computer. Where feet cannot go, the mobile can go today. Now let's quickly summarise my message today. As you read the book of Philippians, Paul didn't want the Philippians to be surprised by their suffering or his suffering. Suffering is a normal part of the Christian life. John 16, verse 33. Paul had a great attitude in his confinement because the Apostle Paul knew that God was sovereign in every situation and that God will work out every situation for every believer's good, and also for God's glory. Read Romans 8:28 again. I think Paul would have used his confinement for prayer, and I know that because he wrote to the Philippians that he was praying for them. I believe that he would have used his confinement for study, and we know that he used his confinement for the furtherance of the gospel, for witnessing. God took the bad things that happened to the Apostle Paul, his confinement, and God used the bad things to get the good news of the gospel out. And you read Philippians chapter 1 there. Also, God can use this world's disasters for the furtherance of the gospel. Ephesians 1 verse 11. God is in control of all things. God can use the disasters that the world is going through as a megaphone from heaven to reach people for eternity. I think this time of distress on our nation could also make Christians wake up to the fact that the time is short. Jesus may come soon for his people. And you know, there's one thing that we can't do in heaven. Even in heaven we can praise. In heaven we can have fellowship. In heaven we'll have the peace of God. In heaven I believe that we'll be able to perhaps tour heaven and maybe tour the galaxies. We'll be able to see the wonderful creative things that has not been visible to our eyes. There's going to be so many things that we are able to do in heaven, but there's one thing that we cannot do in heaven, and that's win a soul to the Lord Jesus. There's no witnessing in heaven because there's no lost in heaven. Everyone's saved in heaven. One thing you can't do in heaven is win souls for the Lord Jesus. The time is now for that. God may use this time in our history to have new opportunities for the gospel. When Paul was confined in Rome, he got to speak to an audience that he would not normally reach, the guards and also those in Caesar's household. And that might be our case in this lockdown. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Another thing that this virus may bring the opportunity for us is to be salt and light in this time of darkness. Christians need to show others that we're not in a panic. If Jesus Christ is our Saviour, if Jesus Christ went to the cross for all our sins, if Jesus Christ promises us eternal life, if Jesus Christ promises us that he cares for the sparrows, he cares for his creation, he cares for each of us. And we don't have to worry. And we need to witness in the fact, not only by our words, but by our lives, that we're calm in the presence of a storm. You know the words that David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We may be walking through a valley of death. People may be dying around us or dying in our communities. People are going to be looking out for those that have hope. And we have hope in the face of death because we have Jesus as our Saviour. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 28 verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise him." We need to be praising the Lord. We can rejoice in the midst of trials and in the midst of storms because we have a God who cares for us and a God who loves us. If you're a Christian, you would know that believers do not need to fear death. Christ is our Saviour and Christ is our Deliverer. Philippians 1 verse 20, Paul says, "So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me pray. Father God, we want to pray for our nation and the nations of this world in this time of crisis. Lord, help each of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus as Saviour to do what Paul did. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people that study your word. And help us to be people that take the opportunity to witness in these dark days. To witness with our words, the words of the gospel and the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. But help us to witness by our lives. Help us to be calm, trusting that you are our strength, our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. So we commit these next months to you, Lord. We commit our church to you and believers around the world, those that are on the mission field and those here at home, Lord, and help us to be effective witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen.